Good morning. When was the last time you heard a message and you left the building thinking that I need to put what I heard into action? And then you went home at some time during the week and actually began to apply what was heard. Because that's not all of us. You know, I think too many of us, you know, when we respond to a message, what do? When we respond to a sermon, is there a response on our part? You know, when we hear God's word, do we say, okay, Lord, you're talking to me. I need to do something with it. One of the purposes of preaching, as one individual said, is to remind believers of God's mercy, love, and justice, and then to thoroughly encourage them and call them to respond in obedience to what has been spoken. Now, granted, there are times when someone up here behind the pulpit has a difficult time in maybe explaining what they want to say, and they may stumble over a few words, and you may go, boy, this is one of the most difficult times in the world, and you feel extremely anxious for the person. And you're going, I'm not getting a whole lot out of this, you know. But if the word is read, there's something in the word that God can bring to the to our hearts, you know, but how many times have we been convicted and heard a message, and as soon as we left the building, the message was sitting on the pew where we heard it, and it didn't sink into our hearts? How often have you left the building? You know, remember, this isn't the church we're in. We are the church. How often do you leave the building thinking about what was spoken? How often do we take it with us? And I understand that it can be there and we may not think about it and God may bring it to remembrance. But however, there's a time when we need to be very intentional about it, because it's very serious to hear the word and then not to do something with the word. You know, God wants to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And preaching is one of the ways he can use to conform us to the image of Christ. And we need to be individuals who are willing to hear that. You know, we need to be changed, and we can be changed by the word. When we hear it, when we read it, when we apply it. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. We wish it could just happen, or wish we could go to a bathroom and take a pill and say spiritual growth, and we take it, and all of a sudden we start understanding scripture, we start doing things that the Bible would have us to do without having to work at it. You know, but it involves preparation, it involves prayer, it involves expectation. We do believe that God is working things in us. He wants us to become like Christ. And it takes engagement. We need to act. And it takes confession. We need to recognize at times we don't do what he calls us to do. We don't like it, you know? Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God, reminding us that we're in a war. And one of the things Satan wants us to do is to make sure we take the word and we don't do a whole lot with it. We can read it, we can spit it out, we can memorize it, but we're not applying it. As one author said, you can take the word, you can chew it, but unless you swallow it, you're not applying it. You can hear it, sounds good, I like it, but it isn't for me. And so we spit it out. But we need to be a people who take it and actually live it, you know. It is because too often we are too quick to forget. We are too quick to forget. So what we need to do is, and even now, and I was thinking, how many of us have even thought about, well, whatever he says, Lord, may there be something in there that I can take. May there be a verse, may there be a phrase, may there be something in the service, in the message that I can take, that you've already asked God for it. You're praying. And even during the message, you're praying and saying, Lord, what is it you want me to hear? What is it you want me to, quote unquote, take away? What is it that you want me to learn? And if you are that confused, or you know the individual is confused, you continue to pray for the person behind the pulpit. Lord, help him. You know, I remember, and I think I've told you this, there was a time when this individual was preaching in a black church, and he said, they were very expressive, and he said, three quarters of the way through the sermon, a woman in the back stood up and said, help him, Jesus! Help him, Jesus! Because he was way off task, you know? So it's like, you're engaged, you're listening, and you're saying, okay, Lord, you know, what is it? Because it needs to happen. We need to walk from this building with something that, okay, Lord, you've spoken. I've heard. You want me to do something with this. You're convicting me of an attitude. You're convicting me that I'm not reading your word. You're convicting me that I like to listen, but I'm not much of a doer. And I need to be more of a doer. So we need to ask God. You know, you ask him, give me, Lord, give me that verse. Give me that thought. Give me that attitude that I need to have that I don't have, you know. Ask God to give you a heart that's open to him, open to his word, open to hearing what he has to say, to hear and apply what he has to say to us. Because again, we are too quickly to forget what has been preached. You know, so often as soon as we leave, it's gone. And you know, how many times does that happen? How many times have you heard, you've been through a message, you've been through a sermon, you've been through a service, and you get up and you go outside and someone says, what was the sermon about? Let me see now. And we start, it's gone. You know, it's gone. Just a suggestion in order to help us remember, because we'll get to a verse, don't worry. It's a long introduction, but don't worry. We'll get to a verse. But a suggestion to help us remember a word, a phrase, a verse in the Bible, something positive from the message. When it's over, when the service is ended, and people get together and start chatting, how many times do you chat about what has been spoken? So be quick to say something concerning what you heard. And obviously, do it positively. But say something, such as, and it takes a little bit of risk to be vulnerable. But you can say something like, you know, God really spoke to me about, you know, that verse that was read, that speaks to me. Something, because then it would bring it to your mind. And if you have a pencil and you write something down, it's even better to help remember what has been said. Maybe what God wants you to do. Because we're too quick to come in, sit down, check off. I was there Sunday the 25th. I was there the first Sunday in September. That's done with. Okay, good. And we don't remember. And I understand, you know, your life is full of activity. You are bombarded by information. And this is just another thing we just throw on the shelf. But God's saying, you know what? I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. I want you to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. I want you to listen and to apply and take this truth to your life. I'm working in you my will. I've begun a good work in you, but you need to participate in this. You're not going to sit there and grow instantly or automatically. We need to be a people who are reaching out, you know. Does the voice of God challenge you? Does it change you when you hear God's word? Do you take it and go, How about even when we sing the songs, Amazing Grace? You know, you think about, is it amazing? And then you ever ask, well, what is grace? Can I explain grace to someone, how amazing it is? Do you ask, Lord, show me? Do we begin to take things apart and ask him what it is? Does the word or message of God cause us to want to do or be someone different? Hey, I'm not that way. And we've gone over the three one another passages. And what were they? Love one another. No, we didn't talk about serve. Encourage one another. And then the last one, that's good. I really feel good that you remember. That's good. But it was outdo one another in showing honor. Yes. You know, and we can hear those, right? Have we attempted to apply them? Have we thought about, okay, how can I outdo one another in here showing honor? How can I encourage one another? You know, I've started it, and then the unfortunate normalcy of life, you start getting into a rut, and then you start doing the normal thing you always do, and it's like, wait a minute. I'm supposed to encourage one another. I'm supposed to spur one another on or stir one another up to outdo one another. I'm supposed to love one another as Christ loved me. Am I doing it? And you go, well, you know what? And then we're not held accountable. And then we just go on to something else and it's forgotten. And God says, no, it can't be. You want to be the people of God, we need to listen. So we can grow in that grace and knowledge. and encourage one another, you know? Or most of us, I tend to think, is that most of us live in a very comfort zone. You know, I don't do that sort of thing. That's not my style. It's not my personality. I don't want it to reach out. I'm comfortable. But if Scripture says, love one another as Christ showed his love toward us, encourage one another daily. And we take it and that's okay. No one's going to ask me, and God's forgiven me, so I'm just going to go along with life. He wants us to do it. He wants us to be that people. Will we? I hope so. Little story. Remember Paul Harvey? He was a news broadcaster many years ago, and he always had stories. And one of his stories was about a man named Roy Blankenship. He said, one morning Ray was preparing breakfast, he heard the terrified cries of a little girl. As he looked out his window, he saw her being swept away in the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew that further downstream, the ditch disappeared into a tunnel underneath the road that emptied into the main storm drain. Ray dashed out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the sinking child. Then he jumped into the deep, churning water. Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. Only a few feet away from the culvert, Ray's free hand felt something, possibly a submerged tree limb. He clung on desperately, but the tremendous force of the water tried to rip and tear him away from the child. If only he could just hang on, just for a little while longer until help comes, he thought. But he did better than that. By the time the fire department came to help rescue him, he had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock, and in April of 1989, he was awarded the Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award is fitting, for his selfless person was at even greater risk to himself because he couldn't swim. And yet he was willing to jump into this water to help save a girl. He was willing to do something that brought him out of his comfort zone. He was willing to begin to put himself out for somebody else. God, hearing God speak, will bring us out of his comfort zone. Bring us out of our comfort zone. If we hear him talk to us and say, okay, I'd like you to do. Moses, go back to Pharaoh. Talk to him. And you read in Exodus 3, Moses, but Lord, I can't speak. But Lord, that's not me. But Lord, call somebody else. But Lord, we have all these excuses. But if you're reading and hearing and listening to his word, he'll call you to grab you out of your comfort zone. Are we willing to allow him to do that? Or do we want to live and be comfy? Or do you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Ray could have said, you know what, I can't swim. I don't want to get wet. Someone else will take care of her. You know, not me. I don't want to risk my life. But what did Ray do? He put all that aside and he did it. Now, God may have spoken to you this week at some time, may have spoken to you this morning at some time. Maybe something has hit you and you're going to, I think I need, I don't know. Will I do it? But if we're not in the Word, if we're not listening to the Word, let me tell you, he's got a hard time doing what he asks you to do when you're not listening. You know? But for Ray, God's voice was unmistakably clear. He went and he did. He heard the terrified cries, looked out the window, and said, I'm going to do it. And he did it. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Are you a good listener to the Lord? Do you? Are you? By looking at your faces, I would say, you're not going to tell me. You have no interest in letting me know whether you are or not. You know, I don't know if I am or not. Sometimes he has to yell at you. Well, that's true. I think that is probably true for all of us. One individual came and made a list of things that would... He asked about how good a listener are you, and he had seven qualities. And he said, well, not qualities, but different thoughts about how good a listener you are. He said, since you think about four times faster than we can talk. We think four times faster than we can talk. Do you use this time when you're listening to think about other things while you're keeping track of the conversation? I mean, how many people right now are thinking of something else? Yeah, I mean, who wants to admit it? Yeah, and our minds are all over the place. Number two, do you listen primarily for facts rather than ideas when someone is speaking? Number three, do you avoid listening to things you feel will be too difficult to understand? Number four, can you tell from a person's appearance that delivery that there won't be anything good to listen to? Could be, depends on how a person's dressed and what they look like. And I, you know, when someone is talking to you, do you appear to be paying attention when you're not? Yeah, there's a few. Oh boy. Yes. Do certain words and phrases prejudice you so that you can't listen objectively? When listening, are you distracted by outside noises and sounds? Yeah, there's no perfect listener. We have our struggles listening. We all do. But however, God's called us to ask Him to teach us to listen. You know, to be a good listener, one needs to be a good doer. You know, James chapter 1, verse 22. You've heard it. Some of you know it, and you're remembering it already. James 1, 22, he says, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And how often do we look at the word and get deceived and do nothing with the word? And he's saying to you, no, be doers of the word. Listen and apply to your life. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. We can immediately forget what's going on. You know, you may egg on your face and you look in the mirror and walk away and forget about it. Do you hear the word and put it into practice? But he says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. God's calling us to take the word and just apply the word. Easy? No. Is it a struggle? Yes. Are we going to fail? Absolutely. Are we going to give up doing it? No. We need to be people who continually focus on doing the right thing. Because you can hear the best preaching in the world. You can go home and put a podcast on of the great preachers in the country, listen to what they have to say, walk away awed and impressed, and do nothing with what they said. Big deal. Doesn't help you, doesn't help anyone. The most frightening thing, as one author said, that can ever happen in your life is for you to hear and feel God and His Holy Spirit leading you to do something, but instead of listening to that voice and doing what you know God's calling you to do, we do nothing. Or we find excuses as to why we can't or shouldn't do it. Instead of saying, Lord, you've called me, I'm your child. You sent your son on the cross to die for me. He died for me, I believe it, I claim it. But I don't plan to do anything with what you said. I'd like salvation. I want that insurance policy in my back pocket. I want the ticket that says I'm going to heaven. Until then, I want to do what I want to do. God says, no, you need to follow me. Joy will be, your greater joy, your blessedness will be found in being obedient to me. We need to become people who are doers of the word. And it's a commitment you need to make. It's a commitment, and I don't urge you, I urge you to make that commitment. I urge, look in the mirror and say, okay, the next time God speaks, do it. We've been talking about the one another passages. Very simple. Be at peace with one another. Are you? Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another, then just as Christ has accepted you. Stop. Instruct one another. Have equal concern for each other. Serve one another in love. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient, bearing with each other in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving one another. In humility, consider others better than yourself. Admonish one another. Encourage each other. Build each other up. Don't grumble against each other. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other. Live in harmony with one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. They're all, and there are many other ones that God's called us to be and to do. And, you know, again, it's very simple. You know, you can hear, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Be doers of the word, do it. Okay. When you're reading your word this week, put it into practice. Very simple, isn't it? No, it's not so simple. Maybe wish it was, because it would be a different place if it was. But may God's great give us the grace to do what he's called us to do and become the people he's called us to be. Let us pray. You know, Lord, it's very simple to say these words. And you know, Lord, it is far more difficult to put the words into practice. Your word says that apart from you, we can do nothing. But your word also says that with Jesus, all things are possible. He will give us the strength. So I do pray that your spirit would be upon us, enabling us to remember, granting us the courage to put into practice what you've called us to do for your honor and glory. Amen.